Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Dalet. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Sarah Kornblum, Sarah Leah Bas Baruch Mordechai Yakoen, and also Wallace Bach, Zev Ben Yitzhak Shlomo. All the Neshomas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. At the end of yesterday's year, we brought down a very interesting braisa. We had nine opinions as to how long is the shear of tumah, how long is the amount of time that the woman, Rahman al-Islam, has to be closeted away with the man in order for there to be a concern that she, in fact, was alone with him, she was secluded with him, closeted away with him, and that this would be a problem of the kinui and stira, this would fulfill the stira, and now she would have to drink the meisota. She wouldn't be allowed to be with her husband until she drinks the meisota, or until she admits that she was, Rahman al-Islam, committed an infidelity and would require to leave her husband. So we had brought down that it's Kedei Tuma, which is the Kedei Ha'ara, which is the Kedei Hakofas Deka, was the first opinion. Then we gave eight other opinions beyond that. So today we're going to discuss that. Another Brisa gives a different set of additional opinions that are different than the nine that we gave yesterday, and we're going to have to contrast the two because some of them are the same Tanoim and they give different Shiurim over here. So we pick up in the Gemara, Dalet Omud Aleph, two lines above the widest lines. We're already halfway down the daf. Two lines above the wide lines with the words Urmini. We're going to contrast the Brisa from yesterday with the Brisa today. So Urmini, we have the following Brisa that it says, Vinistera, when the Torah tells us that the woman was closeted away, she was secluded with the person that she suspected Rahman al-Islam of committing adultery with. So the Brisa also says, V'kama shir stira, how long is this shir of stira? So the Brisa says, interestingly, lo shamanu, we don't know. However, when the Pasuk describes, Kishuhu Omer, the Pasuk adds, the stira vihi nitma, that she was able to become tame during the stira period of time, heavy omer, this comes to teach us kidei tumah, that the length of the stira has to be the amount of time at a minimum that she would be able to become tmeya. What does this mean? Tmeya, kidei bia, that she could have relations during this period of time. The closet away long enough to have relations, but not complete relations, just at least the initial part of the relations, kidei ha'ra, which Rashi had explained yesterday. There were different interpretations we learned later in the Gemara, but Rashi over here, in the very top Rashi, it said, this is hainu nishikas aver biosamakum. This is the joining together of the genital parts of the body of the man and the woman that he touches with his gid, he touches to the area of osamakum. So this is called ha'ara. And that's the amount of time. And how much, in fact, is this? So the first opinion that this price brings down is similar to, but not identical to yesterday's brisa. Here we have kidei chazoras dekel, the amount of time that it takes to go and return to a palm tree, to a dekel. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So here we have the first difference. In yesterday's shir, this was the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and it was kidei hakofas dekel, the amount of time that it takes you to circulate a certain size well known to them, palm tree. Here we have chazoras dekel, to return the palm tree. Now, what does that mean? It sounds like it's the same thing, but we'll see in a moment that it's not. So here we have the first of several multiple stiros that we have between the second brisa and the first brisa. Number one, it's not using the same lashon. Hatkofas dekel, chazaras dekel, and it's attributed to two different tanaim, Rabbi Shmuel in yesterday's brisa, Rabbi Lez in today's brisa. But we don't stop there. We continue in today's brisa, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kidei mizigas kos. Now, I'm not going to point out every one of the contrasts from today and yesterday's brisa, because the Gemara is going to do so in a moment, so now we'll just read them. So Yeshua tells us the amount of time of stira, kidei tumah, kidei ha'ara, is kidei mizigas hakos, the amount of time that it takes to dilute their wine. Their wine was much more concentrated, as we mentioned many, many times, and diluted with either two parts or three parts of water to the wine, and the amount of time that it would take to do that, that's the kidei shir tumah, which is the shir of stira. That's the second opinion we have in today's brisa of Yeshua. The third opinion is Benazi. We had Benazi in yesterday's brisa as well. Here he says something different, or seemingly different. Benazi omer kidei lishtoso, how long it takes to drink the cup of diluted wine or reveals of wine. Then we have the fourth opinion, Rabbi Akiva. Again, he said something different, or seemingly different. In yesterday's brisa, Rabbi Akiva omer kidei litzlos beisa, in order to go and roast a beitza. Then we have the fifth opinion, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. He says, Omer kidei legoma, the amount of time that it would take to swallow an egg. Rabbi Akiva said the amount of time to roast the egg, and Rabbi Huda ben Seira says the amount of time to swallow the egg. So here we have five opinions, all of them seemingly different than the nine opinions that we brought down yesterday, and they're some of the Tanoim seem to have two different shitos, so what's going on? So this is the Reminhi, this is the contrasting. Yesterday's Brisa, today's Brisa, there seem to be lots of contradictions. We're going to solve every one. So if we start off with the first one, which we said, Kidei HaKofas Dekel versus Kidei HaZaras Dekel, and it's by two different Tanoim. So Kosal Kedaitin, our first thought would be that Hainu HaKofas Dekel, Hainu HaZaras Dekel. They certainly sound very similar. The amount of time it takes to circle the Dekel, the amount of time that it takes to return the Dekel, seemingly it sounds the amount of time it takes to return to the same starting point. In other words, to encircle the Dekel. So it sounds like they're the same thing. However, the Gemara says that can't be, because Hosam Amar Rabbi Yishmael Kedei HaKofas Dekel, and nevertheless, in yesterday's Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, who says today Chazaras Dekel, argues with Rabbi Yishmael, so it can't be the same shear. Upolog Rabbi Eliezer Aleh, Rabbi Eliezer argued with Rabbi Yishmael from yesterday's shear. In yesterday's Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer said that it was the amount of time that it takes to do Mezigas Kos. So obviously he's arguing with Rabbi Yishmael, because in yesterday's Brisa he specifically argued Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said Hakofas Dekel, and Rabbi Eliezer said no, it's Mezigas Kos. So obviously Kedei Chazaras Dekel cannot be the same thing as Kedei Hakofas Dekel. So Gemara says you're right. Amar Abaye Hakofas Hakofa Beregel. When you're walking around, Hakofas Dekel means you're walking around. How long it takes you to walk around the standard size palm tree that they had. Okay, it takes 25 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it takes to walk around this tree. That's not Kofas Regal Shear from Rabbi Shmuel from yesterday. And Rabbi Eliezer from today, the Shear of Chazoras Dekel, what is that? It means Chazora Baruach. It means the wind's blowing this palm tree and the branches are swaying. So once the wind stops blowing, how long does it take the palm tree to stop swaying and return back to the stationary position? That is a different amount of time than Hakofas Dekel, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Eliezer are saying two different shurim. Rabbi Eliezer says yesterday that it was the Mezigas Kos, so Mezigas Kos is the same amount of time as Chazaras Dekel, and therefore there's no stira in Rabbi Eliezer. He just gave two different ways to describe the same shear of time, and no problem, no stira, and he's arguing in yesterday's Brisa as well as today's Brisa with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel of Hakofas Dekel. Now, boy, Rav Ashi says when this shear that Rabbi Eliezer in today's Brisa is telling us is Chazaras Dekel, does it mean Chazara Baruach Ki Hechi De'ozel V'Hodar Osi? Does it mean that the branches, the leaves, they sway from, let's say, to the right and then to the left? Or until it stops swaying. When you like bend something backwards and it goes forwards and backwards, forwards and backwards, forwards and backwards, so that ultimately it will stop shaking. So does he mean the multiple times it will take for it to stop shaking, or does it just mean once backwards and forwards? So what is the shear of Chazoras Dekel? So Gemara says, Teku, that we don't know. So Rabbi Eliezer's Shita isn't clear from today whether it means just once going back and forth or until it stops shaking entirely. That's Teku, that we don't have the answer to. But at least we solved the problem how Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree with Rabbi Yishmael, and that's why in yesterday's Brisa he disagreed with him. But we still have one problem. Hasamam Rabbi Eliezer, Kidei Mezigas Kos. In yesterday's Brisa, he said, Mezigas Kos, how long it takes to dilute the wine. And Hocha, in today's Brisa, Kidei Chazaras Dekel. So what's going on? Are those two the same shear? So the Gemara says, yeah, they're the same shear. Edi ve'edi chad shiuruhu. So therefore, there's no stira, and there's no problem with Rabbi Yishmael. So that resolves the first major contradiction between today's Brisa and yesterday's Brisa. Now we go to the second of the five Tanoim from today and resolve it with yesterday. In yesterday's Brisa, Hosam of Rabbi Yeshua, Kidei Lishtoso. Yesterday, Rabbi Yeshua was the one that said the amount of time that it takes to drink this revius of wine. But in today's Brisa, Hochamar, Kidei Mezigas Kos, he says the amount of time that it takes to dilute the wine, to add the two or three parts of water to the one part of wine. And that is the shear of Tumah, Kidei Stira. So Gemara says, Ema, what you must therefore say, that yesterday's shear Kidei Lishtoso, and today's shear Kidei Mezigas Kos, each one was like a shorthand for the following. Ema, Kidei Limzog, the lishtos, and they're the same shear. In yesterday's Brisa, he accented on the lishtoso point of view. In today's Brisa, he accents on the mezigas point of view. But in fact, both of them meant limzog the lishtos. So it's both of them. So let's say one takes 10 seconds, the other takes 10 seconds. The total shear is 20 seconds. And in this situation, he just used the shorthand, kidei lishtos, so yesterday, which meant limzog v'lishtos. And in today's braisa, he's used the shorthand, mezikas akos, but he meant limzog v'lishtos. Why didn't we give the simple teretz that the amount of time that it takes to dilute the cup is the same time that it takes to drink the cup? Like we just said for Rebbe Eliezer, that Chazaras HaDekel and the Mezigas HaKos are the same shear. So why didn't we say that over here too and say that they're the same shear? Or says you can't, because in Cain, then I know Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer's shear from yesterday was Mezigas HaKos. So therefore, there's no way that Rebbe Yeshua is not arguing with him, because it quotes it as a separate opinion. So therefore, you can't simply say that Mezigas HaKos and Shtias HaKos are the same, and therefore, the answer that we gave, Limzog V'lishtos, now Rebbe Eliezer has a different shita than Rebbe Yeshua, and Rebbe Yeshua is consistent yesterday and today. Both of them mean Limzog V'lishtos, and it's different than Rebbe Eliezer, who says just Limzog. So therefore, everything is good. Fine. The next reconciliation was the shita of Ben Azai. In yesterday's Raisa Hosamar Ben Azai, Kidei Litzlos basis is the amount of time that it takes to go roast an egg. And today, Hocha, Ben Azai says, oh my Kidei Lishtoso, the amount of time that it takes to go and drink a cup of wine. So what's going on over here? There's two different shurim for Ben Azai. So Gemara says, simple, that one's easy. Idi v'idi chad shiru. They're both the Shem Shir. It doesn't conflict with anybody else. So therefore, to say, it's the amount of time that it takes to drink a cup. So that's not the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. We just said Rabbi Yeshua is not only drinking, but it's limzog v'lishtos. So he doesn't have the same shita as Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore, that's not a problem. And the seeming contradiction between yesterday, where he says litzlos, and today he says lishtoso, are two different things, but they're the same shear. So there are two different ways to describe the same shear. That's how we reconcile Ben Azai. No problem at all. Again, we point out yesterday from Tosos, why is Ben Azai listed in front of Rabbi Akiva? Because Ben Azai's shear deals first with the litzlos baser today, and only afterwards Rabbi Akiva is going to say ligoma to swallow it. So first you roast it, and then you swallow it. That's why Ben Azai, who's the Talmud, be a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva, nevertheless, he's listed before him. Every place else in Shas, Rabbi Akiva is listed first. Now we reconcile the fourth opinion from today. Hossam am Rabbi Kiva. Yesterday's Bais Rabbi Kiva said the shear is kedei ligoma, the amount of time that it takes to go and swallow this roasted egg. And today's Bais, he says, Hocha am kedei litzlos beisa, the amount of time that it takes to go and roast the egg. So seemingly, we have a contradiction. Rabbi Kiva has two shiurim. So Gemara says, no, let's combine the two shiurim. And when yesterday Rabbi Kiva said the amount of time it takes to swallow it, and today when he says the amount of time it takes to roast it, similar to Rabbi Shur, we said we combined the shiur. Rabbi Shur, we said limzog v'lishtos. So to over here, we say that Rabbi Kiva's sheet is emakidei litzlos beitza v'ligoma, the amount of time it takes to roast and swallow this roasted egg. Gemara says, why didn't you just give the simple teretz the same shiur? The amount of time it takes to roast the egg is the same amount of time it takes to swallow the egg. Why don't we just say that simple answer? Gemara says, you can't, because then otherwise, in Cain, Hainu Ben Azai, then he would have the same shiur as Ben Azai. Ben Azai says the amount of time it takes to roast the egg. So Rabbi Kiva says the same thing. The Rabbi Kiva is not arguing with Ben Azai, but clearly the Brisa states that he is arguing with Ben Azai. That's why you must go to the conclusion that Rabbi Kiva is the double shiur of litzlos v'ligoma, and Ben Azai is only litzlos. We reconciled Rabbi Akiva with Ben Azai and with the Braisa from yesterday. Finally, last shita for today is Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera. So in yesterday's Braisa, we had Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera also. Awesome, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera. In yesterday's Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera said the shir is kidei ligmoa, the amount of time that it takes to swallow shalosh beitzim, three roasted eggs, zu achar zu, one right after the other. And today's Braisa, hocha amar kidei ligmoa, just the amount of time that it takes to swallow one egg. So what's going on? Kidei ligmoa shalosh, kidei ligmoa one. There's no way that those are the same shear. Nobody could argue that three eggs from yesterday is the same shear as one egg from today. They're about the same size eggs. There's no way to say that they're the same shear. So obviously, there has to be a difference. But did Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera contradict himself? Are there two opinions, according to Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera, that are different shiurim? Shmuel says no. When Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera says kidei ligoma, he was talking to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had just said the shear, as we explained it, is litzlos v'ligoma. So ledvar of the Rabbi Akiva come out. Rabbi Yehuda Mbesera was responding to Rabbi Akiva and saying instead of stating two different things, litzlos and ligoma, why didn't you just say L'komar misharin b'tzliya u'begmiya. Instead of saying, as we now explained to Rabbi Akiva, that it's talking about roasting and swallowing, that's two different actions, and that's going to confuse people. Why didn't you say ema shir gmiya l'chuda? You could have given your shir all in respect to swallowing eggs instead of saying roasting and swallowing, which could confuse people. In other words, the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg is the amount of time it takes to swallow two eggs. So why didn't you just say, kidei ligmoa shalosh beitzim zu achar zu? Instead of saying roasting, which takes the amount of time it takes to swallow two eggs, and then swallowing one egg, say the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs. That's reviewed in the Seira, saying to Rabbi Akiva, why did you give your shear or express your shear with two different actions? You could have expressed it with one action, just swallowing, the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs. The hainu, which is the amount of time that it takes, tzliya, which is roasting the egg, which is the amount of time that it takes to swallow two eggs, ukmiya, the amount of time it takes to swallow one egg. So why did you say tzliya and gmiya when you could have just said gmiya, three eggs, and that would have been a simpler way to express your shita? That is what Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira says to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva felt, no, it's easier to say litzlos legoma rather than saying to swallow three eggs. Okay, therefore, there's no stira at all over here between Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira from yesterday, one egg, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira today, who seems to say three eggs. No, he's saying, Rabbi Akiva, you should say three eggs. I hold one egg. That resolves all the contradictions from today's Braisa to yesterday's Braisa. But now we just want to discuss two of the last shitas from yesterday's Braisa. In yesterday's Braisa, we had the opinion of Rabbi Elozov and Yirmiyah, and he said, Omer, kidei sheyikshor gardi nima. A gardi is a weaver, and the amount of time that it takes, he had said, to the shear of stira, the shear of tumma, of hara, is the amount of time that it takes to tie a knot by a weaver. Yikshor nimor, that means to tie a knot by the gardi, the weaver. So the Gemara asks, what type of knot are we talking about? Boy, Rav Ashi asks, when Rav Elozov ben Yirmiyah says this year, Kidei Sheyikshor Gardi Nimo, is he talking about the Merachek, that the two pieces that he's tying together are far away from each other? Or to Mikrav, or they're close to each other? Again, must take, 2 seconds difference, whether they're distant or whether they're close. And therefore, that is Rav Ashi's question, and the Gemara leaves this also with a take. We don't have the exact answer, we leave this unanswered. A couple more further understandings from yesterday. The last two. First, we have Chanan ben Pinchas. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer, he said in yesterday's Braisa, Kidei shetoshit yada l'soch pia litol kesam. He is the amount of time that takes a woman to put her hand into her mouth and remove the toothpicks, the little piece of wood, the little splint that she used to pick out something from in between her teeth. So, boy, Rav Ashi asked over here too, exactly what are we talking about? Are we talking about that the toothpick, the splinter that you use to clean her teeth is stuck in her teeth, the mahadek? Oh, the lo mahadek, it was just in her mouth, and it's just the amount of time it takes to put her hand in her mouth and take out the little splinter, a much shorter shear than if it's seemingly tightly wedged in between her teeth. And the Gemara also doesn't answer this and leaves it with a teiku. So Chanan ben Pinchas' shear is not clear to us as well as addressed by the question of Rav Ashi. And finally, the last opinion that we had in yesterday's Braisa, Plimo, again, we mentioned Plimo is the name of a Tana, Plimo Omer, Kidei Shetoshit Yodo Lasal, the amount of time it takes a woman to put her hands into a basket and take out a loaf of bread from that basket, Lito Kikar. So we have a bunch of questions now that Rav Ashi asked over here too. Rav Ashi had asked the question on Elizabeth and Yirmiyah, asked the question on Chanan ben Pinchas, and now he asked the question on Plimo. And the first of a series of questions that Rav Ashi asked is, what type of bread are we talking about? The mahadek, is this kikar, this piece of bread, this loaf of bread, is it tightly wedged into this basket, that wicker basket, so maybe it's tightly tucked into part of the wicker basket, or it's loose in the basket, and again, if something is tightly tucked in, it will take longer to take it out, as Rashi says, the bottom, Rashi, 2 lines from the bottom, hakikar bedochach betoch hasal, it's wedged in there, and therefore it's going to take longer to take it out, it's not wedged in, and it won't take as long to take it out. Similarly, Rav Ashi asks, are we dealing with Bechareta? Are we dealing with a brand new basket? Or are we dealing, Ba'atika, or with an older basket? What's the difference? So Rashi explains, again, 2 lines in the bottom, Dibur Mazgol Bechareta, he says, Sal Yoshein Cholaku, a old basket is nice and smooth. The pieces of wicker are smoothed out, and they're not going to catch on to the bread. V'noach lishtamesh, and it's therefore much easier to take out a loaf of bread from a well-smoothed out, used wicker basket than it is from an atika. Shachodesh, Rashi says, Yotzin Latocho, Roshe Kismin Shalariga, because the pieces of the wicker edge of the basket are not smoothed out, they're still rough, and they'll catch on to the bread. It'll take a little bit longer to take out that loaf of bread. So that's the second question Rav Ashi asks. Another question he asks, are we dealing over here with bread that's very warm, or is it cold? Bechamima or Bekrira? As the bottom Rashi tells us, Dibra Masa Bekrira, Lechem Cham Nimach. B'nishmat minayat. The warm bread is going to be a little bit more difficult to pick up because it's soft and it's malleable. And when you put your hand in to pick it up, you squeeze it and it moves away from you. And therefore, you have to take it out very carefully and more slowly. And therefore, the hot bread will take a little bit longer to take out than the cold bread. That's another question Rav Ashi had. We go now to Dalud Omid Beis, and we have another question that Rav Ashi said. Are we dealing over here with what type of grain? Bidachiti, is it wheat or bidasari or with barley? And the top Rashi over here tells us, Shochitin Cholok, the wheat bread is smoother, and the Nishomet Yoser Mishol Sorim, and will be more easily pulled out than a barley bread. So the shear will be a little bit shorter if it's a wheat bread. And finally, the last question of Rav Ashi, birikicha or biyakusha, as Rashi explains here, are we dealing over here with a soft bread, nishmat yoser, which will come out more easily, meyakusha, than a hard bread? Rashi says, rikicha is shenilo sha'isa racha. This is a dough that was made in a softer dough as opposed to a hard dough. So in this situation, it will take a little bit longer to take out the hard dough than it will take out the soft dough. So all of these questions Rav Ashi asks on the Shita of Plimo and Teku. We don't get an answer to these as well. So the last three Shitas in the Braisa from yesterday are left a little bit unclear as to what the Shitas are, how long they actually are. Now, Amar Rav Yitzchak, we have the Girsa either with Bar Rav Yosef or he's just the son of Yosef, and he says, this Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Yosef says the name of Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Echad V'Echad Bi'atzmo Shiur. Why do we have all of these Shiurim, the nine Shiurim from yesterday, and the five Shiurim that we had from today? So some of them were the same, some of them are not the same. But where did they come up with these Shiurim? So Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Yosef said the name of Rav Yochanan, each of them used his own personal experience, his own Atzmo, his own, how long it took him to do Ha'ara with his wife in order to go and figure out a shear that people would understand for the shear of Stira, the shear of Tumma, the shear of Ha'ara. Gemara says, how can that possibly be? Va'ika ben Azai delo nosif. Wait a second, Ben Azai didn't get married. Ben Azai is famous throughout Shas as saying, I'm the exception to the rule. Everybody else is benefited to be married, but me, my life is so Torah, I can't tear myself away from the Torah and get married. And I'm potter because I'm so engrossed and involved in Torah. He's the exception to the rule. Everybody else gets married. Like Moshe Rabbeinu had to separate from his wife. So Ben Azai said, I can't be married because my life is Torah and anything else is subordinate to it and I don't want it. So he's the exception to the rule. But he never got married according to this. And therefore, how could he say this is his own personal experience about how long it takes to do Ha'ara when he wasn't married? So one gives three teruts. The first one is he was married. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter. I mentioned many times that he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. But then, he divorced her because he said, I can't stay married, and it's not fair to her, and I'm so engrossed in Torah, I'm never at home with my wife. Now remember, the Rabbi Akiva was away for 24 years from his wife, so imagine, that's considered acceptable. And Ben Azai says, no, I can't even be once every 24 years home with my wife. So again, think about the unbelievable hasmada that Ben Azai actually had. So that he's the exception to the rule, but he was once married. So therefore, he could say, this was the Shir of Ha'ara when I was married. Terence number two, you might say, alternatively, you could say that Mei Rabbe Shmilei. He learned this from his Rebbe, either Rabbi Akiva, or he learned this from a different Rebbe. And that's why he's saying the shear. Now, Mestama is not from Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva gave a shear, and Ben Azai argued with it. So Mestama, it was from a different Rebbe that Ben Azai had. And Terence number three, we have the famous pasuk from Tehillim, where it says, Sod Hashem Lireyav. Hashem gives out his secrets to the Talmidim. Ubriso lohodiyam. That's the end of the pasuk from Tehillim. And this means, Yibai Yisei, Masod Hashem Lireyav, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. So Hashem reveals his secrets to those that are his Yireyav, to those that are in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those that fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So great Talmidei Chachamim, they're giving things which they wouldn't otherwise have known. Markatino says, Darish Rabavira, Ravira Darish in the following. Sometimes Zimnin Omalo Mishmeder of Ami, Vizimnin Omalo Mishmeder of Asi. Sometimes he said this Vort over the name of Ravami, and sometimes he said it over the name of Ravasi. Now we find this type of expression throughout Shas, that sometimes he said the name of Ravami, sometimes he said the name of Ravasi. So the Ben Yoda has a very, very interesting explanation. I've given this many times, so we don't have it that often, so it's good to say it each time. So in fact, Rav Avira learned by both Rav Asi and Rav Ami. However, Rav Asi was his primary Rebbe, but Rav Asi himself was subordinate to Rav Ami, and therefore he didn't want to ever slight his Rebbe by saying his Rebbe's name after Rav Ami. He didn't want to say, I learned this from Rav Ami and Rav Asi, because that would be a slight to his Rebbe, his primary Rebbe. But at the same time, he couldn't say his primary Rebbe's name, Rav Asi, before Rav Ami, because Rav Asi wasn't as great as Rav Ami. So therefore, he came up with this compromise solution. Sometimes he said over the Vart the name of Rav Ami, and sometimes he said over the Vart in the name of Rav Asi. He had actually heard it from both of them, but he didn't want to mention both of them at the same time in order not to slight his Rebbe. And he also wanted to make sure that Rav Ami got the proper cover, that as the Gadol Hador, he got even more than his own Rebbe, but he didn't want to slight his Rebbe. That's why it says the Ben Yehuda brilliantly comes up with Zimnum Omar Mishem Rav Asi and Zimnum Omar the Shem of Rav Ami. In any event, what did Rav Avira say? He said, Kol Ochel Lechem Belo Netilas Yodayim. Anybody who goes and eats bread without washing their hands first until Netilas Yodayim, Keilu Bo Al Isha Zona. We equate that with Rechmona Litzlan having relations with a prostitute, with an Isha Zona. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Mishlei, where it says, Shenemar Ki Ba'ad Isha Zona Ad Ki Kar Lecha. Now, that's a pasuk that we're going to darshan here now. We're also going to darshan the end of the pasuk, where it says, The Ashes Ish Nefesh Yikora Sotsud. We'll darshan that later in the shiur today. So that's why we're going to darshan it, because it seems to have nothing to do with our pasuk, the first part of the pasuk in the first drasha. And what does this have to do with anything that we learned till now? So this is because we just learned about Plimo, who said that the shiur of Ha'arah, the shiur of Stira, the shiur of Tumah, was the amount of time it takes to take a loaf of bread out of this basket. Rav Ashi had asked all those questions, what type of bread, what type of basket? So Rav Avira therefore gives us a vart that deals with bread. So Ochel Lechem Belo Netilas Yadayim. He tells us if somebody eats bread without washing the hands, it's such a terrible thing. It's as if he had relations with the Zona based upon this pasuk in Mishlei where it says, Ba'ad Isha, because of an Isha Zona, Ad Kikar Lechem. That's a loaf of bread. In other words, we compare the two together. So Amar Rava, Rava doesn't like this comparison. He says, that's the wrong way the pasuk should be phrased. If what you're saying is correct, that because somebody doesn't wash his hands, he's doing something so terrible, it's like he has relations with his Zona. So, hi, Ba'ad Isha Zona, Ad Kikar Lechem, that's not what should it say. It should say, Ba'ad Kikar Lechem, Ad Isha Zona, Baboyele. It should reverse the order around, and it should put the Kikar Lechem first. Because of the Kikar Lechem, you didn't do that properly, so it's like you had relations with his Zona. So he flips around the way the pasuk should have been written if Rav Avira's drush is right. So therefore, Rava says, El Omar Rava, this is the more correct way to dash in the pasuk in Mishlei. Kol Habal Isha Zona. If somebody has relations with his Zona, L'sof Mevakesh Kikar Lechem. HaKadosh Baruch will make it that if you're a promiscuous person, you have relations with his Zona, Hashem will take away your Kikar Lechem. He'll make you impoverished. You do this wrong, HaKadosh Baruch is going to unfortunately punish you and make you impoverished. That seems to be a much more logical way, Rava says, to read the pasuk. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rav Elazar. Once we already started discussing this, let's discuss it more. So Amar Rav Zrika, Rav Zrika says the name of Rav Elazar. Call him Mezalzel with Netilas Yadayim. If somebody's not careful with Netilas Yadayim, so Nekar Min Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove him from the world. As Rashi says, Mezalzel, Sha'ochel Tomit. He eats regularly, not one time. He eats regularly below Netilas Yadayim. So such a person will be Nekar, Rashi says, the over Al-Divri Chachamim. If somebody goes against the words of the Rabbanon, this is one of the Zayid mitzvahs that the rabbi set up. There are 613 Daraisas, and there's actually only 7 real mitzvahs that the rabbi set up. There are many, many shvusim, the many, many additional hidurim and restrictions that the rabbi set up, additional commandments that the rabbi said to do or not to do, but the 7 basic mitzvahs, one of them is the Netilas Yadayim, was set up by Shlomo HaMelech. And Nekar, if somebody doesn't do this, he'll be removed from the world because he's going against Divrei Chachamim. And therefore, such a person is Chayev Misa, as the Pasuk in Koheles tells us, Poreitz Gader, Yashchenu Nochosh. If somebody goes against the words of the Chachamim, they've set up fences to protect the Torah, so then a snake will bite him. A snake is always the example given for the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he will die. So somebody who's not careful with Netilas Yadayim on a regular basis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take him out of this world. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Rav Chiya Barashi says the name of Rav, Mayim Rishonim, washing Netilas Yadayim before you go and eat bread, Tzorech Shiagbiya Yodov L'malav. When you do that, when you wash your hands, so raise your hands upwards to let the water drain off them so it shouldn't go back from the places that are beyond either the knuckles or the wrist, the machlokas, as to how much you have to wash. So we, Paskin, you should ideally wash to the wrist, but bid the other, if you only wash to the knuckles, you're okay. But when you finished washing, so hold your hands up so the water will drain down until what we call your proximal arm, it will drain down onto your arm and not drain back onto the distal part of your fingers of the hand. So tzorech shiagbiya yodav lamala, because you don't want the tumah to go backwards and drain back down from the area that it was now becoming tameh, and the upper part of your hand, it shouldn't drain down to the lower part of your hand, which you now had been metahar, but it will become tameh if the water drains down. As opposed to mayim achronim, which you wash at the end of the meal, the reason that Rashi gives us here is because of the melech stomis, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should wash their hands, because even though we're not sure today if we have melech stomis, like Tosus brings down elsewhere, that there is no melech stomis today, but nevertheless, there are opinions to say there is something like the melech stomis, and that a person could, if he doesn't wash his hands mayim achronim, put his hands in his eyes and cause a blindness, so that's one reason. But the second reason that the Gemara is going to give over here is that the hands are dirty, and you don't make a brach with dirty hands. It's not proper. So, mayim achronim, when you're just interested in getting the schmutz off your hand, tzorach sheyashbo yodov lemata, you put your hands down after you wash mayim achronim. People mistakenly think you just touched the water to your tips. You're supposed to wash mayim achronim the same way you wash mayim rishonim. So you really should take a revius of water and pour it on your hands. So when the water's on your hands, instead of with mayim rishonim, you keep your hands in an upright position so the water will drain down towards your proximal arm. So here, bedavka, by mayim achronim, you let the water drip down and drain down from your fingers so the water will go down towards the tip of your fingers and it will remove all the zuam, all the dirt, all the schmutz that's on your hands. So tzorach sheyashbo yodov lemata. So we have a braisa that supports this Amoraic statement of Rav Chiya Barashi in the name of Rav. Again, I mentioned many times that the Amoraim did not know all the braisas. That's why we'll always have in the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi. A braisa supports what the Amora said. He wasn't aware of the braisa. But you'll never have Tanan Nami Hochi. A Mishnah supports the Amora because the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayis. And therefore, they would never quote something of their own. They would say, this is what the Mishnah said. Whereas a braisa, they may not have known, so they'll say it on their own and not realize that they had said exactly what a braisa said. So here, the Rav Chiya Barashi, Amorav, was not aware of this braisa, but the braisa says exactly like him. Tanya Nami Hochi, Anotu Yodav for Amayim Rishonim, Tzorok Shiagbiya Yodav Lamala, and Shema Yetsu Amayim Chutz Laperek, Viyachzu Vitamus Yadayim. When he's washing sins for Amayim Rishonim, Latilas Yadayim, before eating bread, so you have to keep your hands in an upright position after you wash them, the fingers up towards the sky, because maybe the water will have gone beyond the perek, which is normally translated as the wrist, and therefore the water, if you had your hands down, your fingers pointing downwards, so the water that was beyond the wrist would be tomei, and now it's going to fall back onto your hands. If yachzu v'yitam v'siyadai. So therefore, this braisa supports exactly what Rav Barashi said in the name of Rav. Another ma'isa about netilas yadayim. Amar Rabbi Yavaru says, kol ochel pas below nikov yadayim. If you go and eat bread, you wash netilas yadayim, but you didn't dry your hands. You didn't do nikov yadayim. So such a person is rachmana litzlan ki'ilu ochel lechem tomei. It's as if you're eating lechem that is tomei. As Rashi says, Rashi can be found in the first wide lines in the Rashis. So this is a davar mos. To eat bread with wet hands is a davar mos. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. For example, when you wash mayim achronim, you should make sure that there are no pieces of bread nearby, even crumbs, that will get wet by the waters of the mayim achronim, which people washed often on the table, and they would spill some of the water, and it's going to make those pieces of bread disgusting, and you guys must treat bread in a respectful fashion. So therefore, if your hands are wet when you're eating the bread, even though you washed the tilas yadayim, it's still considered something that is not right. Ki'ilu ochel lechem tomei. It's as if you're eating something that's disgusting, and that's a euphemism we use, tumah, for disgusting. Kilu ochel lechem tomei. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Yecheskel, where it says, Shenemar, Vayomar Hashem, Hashem said, Kocha yochlu bnei Yisrael es lachmam tomei. V'gomer. This is what Hashem said to Yecheskel, this is the way the Klai Yisrael is going to eat their bread, it's going to be tomei. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us into the galus, so they're going to have nothing to eat. They're going to eat this bread. It's a very, very disgusting bread. This is the Ezekiel bread that is mentioned over there in the pasuk, where Yechezkel told to eat this bread that's made up of very coarse ingredients, and it's cooked on a fire that's made from excrement, a very, very flavorful and delicious sounding bread. This Ezekiel bread that Yechezkel was told to eat is to tell Kaiso, when you're going into Gullus, you're not going to have things very good. So therefore, it's called Lechem Tomei, Lachmam Tomei, and therefore, this is the idea. If you eat something that's disgusting, so it's called Tomei. Doesn't mean ritual tumor, but it means something disgusting. Umay, now the Gemara says, the Eishas Ish Nefesh Yikora Tosud. So I said previously, this is the end of the Pasuk in Mishnah that we brought down. Kiba Adi Shazona Ad Kikar Lechem. So we dashed in that part of the Pasuk, and now the end of that Pasuk in Mishnah is the Eishas Ish Nefesh Yikara Satsud. So the meaning of this pasuk now is going to be darshan. The married woman, a nefesh yikara will capture her. Tatsud is like a snare, and it will capture her. It's a trap. So what does this mean? So Amar Ruchiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ruchiyah Bar Abba says to Rav Yochanan, this means, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasus HaRuach. If somebody is an arrogant person, he's Gasus HaRuach,
he thinks really highly of himself, Libesov, at the end, Nichshal b'eishesish. He's so harsh, he's so high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower him down by making him, unfortunately, go and commit an infidelity to have adultery with an eishesish. And this is the pasuk, Shinema, the eishesish, nefesh yikara tatsu. Eishesish will capture a person, in other words, she will ensnare such a person because he's so arrogant, and she will trap him. So Rava doesn't like this drasha, just like Rava didn't like the drasha previously. He says, you're darshing it backwards, so I'm a Rava here too. He says, hi, nefesh yikara, nefesh gavol mi boile. Why did it say nefesh yikara? A precious type of a nefesh. It should have just said, an arrogant person. Why did he use this lashon of nefesh yikara instead of saying nefesh gavol, an arrogant person? Furthermore, va'od, he saw tzud mi boile. It should have said that she will capture him instead of saying that nefesh yikara satsud will be captured. So it's a little bit incorrect in terms of your darshin the pasuk. So Rava has his own way of darshin the pasuk. El Amar Rava. Rava says, "Kol abal eishesish." If somebody commits rachmon l'tzlan in adultery with a married woman, so afilu lo matorah. Even if this guy's a huge talmid chacham, d'chsiv ba, and it says about such a person, yikarihi mipninim. He is considered somebody who is so precious, he's even more precious than Penimim. Penimim, what does that mean? Normally it means diamonds. But here it means, Mikoin Gadol Shenichnas Lefnayv Lefnim. This Talmid Chacham is even greater than the Kohen Gadol, who gets to go Lefnayv Lefnim, inside the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, a person who studies Torah is viewed by a Kohen Shmarach, who is even more precious than that Kohen Gadol, who goes Lefnayv Lefnim. That's what Penimim means. So such a person, even though he has all this Torah learning, it will not be able to protect him if he is Rachmanu Litzlan, having relations with a married woman if he commits adultery. He, Titzudanu, she will go and capture him, Ladina Shel Gehenim, and bring him into, unfortunately, Gehenim. So the terrible, terrible avera of committing adultery, Rachmanu Litzlan, with an eishesish, so even all the Torah learning in the world will not be able to protect you from being captured and unfortunately put into Gehenim. Okay. So Gemara says, furthermore, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai. Rav Yochanan says, name Rav Shimon Yochai. Call all them Sheish Bo Gassus Ruach. A person who's arrogant, Kiilu Over Avodas Kochav. Such a person is equated with somebody who goes and worships Avodah Zorah. Why is that? Because Ksiv, it says Hocha over here in regards to a person who's arrogant. It says in Mishle, Toavas Hashem Kol Giva Lev. Somebody who is a Givalev, somebody who's arrogant, it's considered Toeva. The end of this pasuk is Yod Liyod Lo Yinakeh. We're going to dash in the end of this pasuk in a few moments as well. But for right now, we're just starting the beginning of the pasuk. Tovas Hashem Kol Givalev, it's considered a Toeva, an abomination, if somebody's arrogant. And it says as well in the pasuk, in Devarim, Uksiv Hasam, Velo Savi Soeva El Besecha, a person should not bring Toeva, idolatry, into his house. So therefore, we see that the word toeva over here is a gova lev. It's considered doing a toeva. It's like he's worshipping Avodah Zorah. And we have the toeva connection to teach us that it's referring to Avodah Zorah. That's the opinion of Shirmo Bar Yochai, as stated by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan today, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, he added, Amar, Kiilu Kofar Beikar. It's not only Avodah Zarah, but it's as if he's totally going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's blaspheming against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us also from Devarim over there, V'rom levavecha v'shachachto s'Hashem Elokecha v'gomer. If a person becomes arrogant, he's going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, he's going to be kofar v'ikar. Furthermore, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Amar, Chanina darshins this pasuk, kiilu ba al kol arayas. Such a person who's arrogant is considered as if he was Rachmanu Litzlan over on all the different arayas in the Torah. He, as if he had relations with all the women that he's prepared for having relations with. And he also darshins this out from the word toeva. Ksiv hach, it says over here, tovas Hashem kol givalei. So this pasuk in Mishlei teaches us that it's considered an arrogant person as a toeva. Uksiv hasem, and it says, in regarding all the arayas, ki es kol ha-toevo sa'el v'gomer. So, Rachmon Uslan, if you commit all of these toevos, so then you're going to be punished. So therefore, we see the toeva is the connection between the arrogant person and all of these prohibited relationships. So therefore, an arrogant person is viewed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a negative way. It's as if he had relations with all these people that are prohibited to him. And finally, we dash in this pasuk one more way. Ulu Amar, Hilu Bana Bama. This person who is arrogant is as if he is constructing altars to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're not allowed to do this. A person is allowed to have his own private Bama, only a very small, short periods of time in our Jewish history. When the Mishkan was not in Shiloh, so they were allowed to have their private Bama. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, and all the time, the 369 years that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, you weren't allowed to have your own private Bama. And once the Beis HaMikdash is built, forever it's restricted. You're never allowed to have again a private bama. Sula says the person who's arrogant is as if he built a bama when you're not allowed to have a bama. Shinemar, because the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, Chidlu lochem minu adam, stay away from a person, asher nisham bapo, adam has breath in his nostrils, ki bameh nechshafu, for what is he worth? He's not worth anything. So we play on the word bameh, al tikri bameh elo bama. If a person is arrogant, so it's as if he's considering himself, I'm really somebody special, but really, bameh nechshafu, he's not worth anything, and we play on the word bameh, it's as if he built a bama. Al tikri bameh elo bama. Okay, that's how we dash in the pasuk. Now, this pasuk we just said, Tovas Hashem kol gova, so the end of the pasuk was Lev yod liyod lo yinokeh. That literally means, from hand to hand, you will not be cleansed. So, what does this pasuk really come to teach us? Amar Rav, Rav says, kol abal eishesis, if a person, rachmona l'slan, has relations with a married woman, so afilu, he can know, l'akodesh baruch hu, shemayim v'aretz, k'avram avinu, even if he goes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the creator of the heaven, the world, earth, just the way Avraham Avinu did, as the Pasuk says, and here we have the word Yad, and that's why the connection that Rav is making between this Pasuk and Avraham Avinu, the Chsiv by Avraham Avinu, it says, the Chsiv Bey, HaRimosi Yodiel Hashem, Kelayon, Konei Shamayim V'Oretz. If I were to go and lift up my hand to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you are the creator of heaven and the earth. So, if somebody recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great way Avraham Avinu recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nevertheless, he had relations with a married woman, Rachmana Litzlan, committed adultery, even if you were so great, like Avraham Avinu, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yinokeh. The end of the Pasuk initially says, you will not be cleansed, midino shel gehenim. So somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, commits these averas, even though he has recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Avraham Avinu, he'll be still punished. He won't be saved from gehenim. That's the way Rav understands this. And again, not everybody agrees. Kashilu Ludvei Rabbi Shila. Here, instead of Rava, here we have the Talmidim from the Beis Medrash of Shila. They questioned Rav. They didn't understand. The Pasuk says, Yod Liyod Lo Yinokeh. It doesn't say Harimosi Yodi, like it says by Avraham Avinu. It says Yod Liyod. There seems to be an extra hand over here. So they questioned, Hi, Yod Liyod Lo Yinokeh. Yod Miboile. It should have just said Yod Lo Yinokeh if it wants to compare it to Avraham Avinu, because by Avraham Avinu said Harimosi Yodi, my hand. So they didn't like this drasha. Ella, they said, Ella Amri Devei Rabbi Shila, the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, they suggested that you should darshan the pasuk Yod Liyod Lo Yinokeh Afilu Kibel Torah K'Moshe Rabbeinu. Compare the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu that got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if you are learning Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chsiv Bei, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi Mino Eish Dos Lomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand to Moshe's hand, mimino, eish dos lamo, so even if a person is like Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yinoke midina shogenim, he will not be spared if he, Rachmana Litzlan, commits such a terrible avera of committing adultery with a married woman. But again, this is also somewhat problematic. Kashli Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, I don't like the way you're darshing this, the Talmid of the Beir of Shila, because it said, yod liyod. It should have said, according to you, hi, yod liyod. It should have said, yod Mi yod mi boile. Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyochu received it from Hashem's hand. It should have said yod mi yod lo yenakeh. In this comparison to Moshe Rabbeinu, it shouldn't have said yod li yod. It should have said yod mi yod. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan comes up with his own way of interpreting this, and he says, "Elo Rabbi Yochanan, we turn to Heyom and Aleph. Afilu oset stalka b'seisa. Even if a person gives silently, he gives money to tztaka in a secretive way, which is the best way to give it, that you don't know who you're giving to, and that the person who receives it doesn't know who gave it to them. Even if you give matan besesa, even if you give this great form of tztaka, the siv matan besesa yichpe af gomer, as the pasuk tells us for Mishlei, that if a person gives matan besesa, that can really turn around Hashem's anger. Nonetheless, it won't turn around the anger from Rachmana Litzlan, a person committing adultery. That won't protect you. Lo yinokeh midina shel gehenim. You won't go and be saved from the din of Gehenim. Now, we continue discussing the importance of arrogance. That's why I said Sota is such a beautiful Agarata-filled Masechta. We have lots and lots of discussions like this throughout the Masechta, but this is a good break point to start, even though we'll continue discussing arrogance tomorrow. But with this, we conclude today's share.